I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the Burger Party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. He's our senior contributor. We have Alex Province, our regular contributor from Hartford. We have Lori Mack, the producer, and Jonathan McNichol, our producer. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org, as you know. And at our website, of course, foodschmooze.org. You can have every recipe, drink, cocktail coming your way, and we have some great stuff for you. I think you're going to have a good time. All right, let's get to our burgers. We have the top 10 burgers posted at our website, the top 10 Food Schmooze burgers. We're prepared to talk about them with you now. We are wild for the burger around here. In fact, we just sat down and had a whole bunch of them. Just so much fun.
The most perfect food.
I know.
It really is.
It's just fantastic. So, Chris, start us off with your buffalo burger. We just tried this.
Yeah.
I would say this is a paleo burger because there are no breadcrumbs in this burger.
Okay, go ahead. No, and this comes, of course, from the Buffalo Chicken editor. Yes. And that's my main man, Brian, who is like all things buffalo. And this is just, this came together so easily. Every time I make it, I get shocked that it's so good because it is just a pound of the chicken.
You serve this at the restaurant.
Yeah,
right?
We serve, and we eat this for family meal. I mean, it's just so easy to make.
Can I just jump in as you describe it and say, this can be served to grown-ups and kids.
Totally.
Especially kids who don't tolerate heat or grown-ups who don't, because it has the spicy profile, but I don't taste heat in this burger.
No, it just has a little like tinge, right?
Yeah.
The buffalo's like kind of
a whisper.
So it's like I said, it's the regular container of ground chicken, and you throw that in a bowl, and really just add in a couple things. He adds chopped scallions, which you can or you don't have to. That's not essential. But the essentials are chopped celery, buffalo chicken sauce, the buffalo chicken wing sauce, right? And
is that
blue
Frank's?
Cheese. Yeah, there's a couple out there, but Frank's is the original, right? So we might as well use that one. And then blue cheese, crumbled blue cheese. And you put that all in the bowl, and you just get in there with your hands, and you mix it all up. And then you divide that a pound, usually makes four burgers, or the recipe I gave is for 2 pounds. So if you want to make 8 burgers, use the full recipe. And you just make it into these patties, and then those patties can be baked in the oven, fried in a pan, or grilled on the outside grill.
They are delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cooked all the way, right? That's the difference between a poultry burger or a beef burger. You got to go to 160, right? No medium rare chicken burgers.
You notice there were no breadcrumbs or anything holding this together. There's not even egg in this to hold it together. It just holds together. Yeah. Delicious, delicious burger.
How about the condiments?
Yeah.
If you want to add something extra, I like to put the Frank's sauce on the burger after it's been cooked. And a little bit of blue cheese
to boost it up.
I forgot to do that.
What I did was shredded lettuce as thinly as you can get it, and blue cheese dressing. So it's like a blue cheese salad on top.
This is how we just ate it, and it was so good.
On the potato roll, because you got to go all out.
And I'm a paleo girl, so I didn't do any roll.
But you had it on the salad.
So delicious. But my salad, a blue cheese salad dressing sat on top of the burger. Oh, it is fabulous. So that's at foodschmooze.org right now, and we'll be up there permanently. The Academy of Top 10 Burgers.
And it was neat to eat, too. It's not like eating chicken wings where you're getting covered with stuff and get the stuff in your teeth. It was like
no wet
satiating
naps.
And so clean.
And no wet naps.
Right.
No wet naps.
No dripping.
I like the wet for that.
So another edition.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah, another edition of
Chris
the Brian.
And Brian.
Yeah, the Brian Cole.
Brian is our
Buffalo chicken
buffalo
editor.
Buffalo is what we call him. Excellent. All right. Alex Province, what do you have for a burger?
So you need to use beef that has enough fat. So I try to find 80-20, right?
70-30.
Or 70, if that exists. I always feel like I need to explain to the meat guy that, like, oh, it's for a burger. It's like, and I have a good cardiologist.
Yeah, but, so that 90-10 we don't need.
And all you need is salt and pepper, and you have to cook it inside. So you need a stainless steel or a cast iron saute pan that you can get really, really hot. And I form the burger thinly. So I take the ground beef, form it into a thin patty.
Salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper both sides. get the pan screaming hot. Make sure your hood is on and working.
Do you have anything in the bottom of the pan?
It's enough fat in the ground beef, you don't need anything. And you put these, slap these things down, and they're going to start sizzling and smoking. And then peak, just you want to not burn them, but you want them to turn brown and crusty. And you can use a spatula to sort of squash them down. And so juice will come out. Unlike cooking on the grill, where you don't want to squash them, on the pan, you can actually squash them and start making them sort of spread out and flat. And then you flip them over. And these are they're going to cook medium. It's hard to make these rare. And then you get the crust on both sides. And don't laugh, but I like American cheese on these.
Yes. Sure.
And I haven't ever bought it. I haven't bought Velveeta forever, but Velveeta cheese, if you had Velveeta cheese and you melted it on top, I would put that on top.
Cheese-like substance.
Boy, is it good on a burger.
So the cheese goes on top, then the bottom bun and the top bun, and then you put the lid on top, and then the bun sort of...
On top of the bun?
Yeah, on top of the saute pan so that you're creating like a chamber with all the steam that softens the bread.
Oh, you're making a steam burger.
And then the cheese melts, runs down the side, and then, you know, when you take it out, the bun's soft, the cheese is melted, it's crusty.
But it's got crispiness from searing so hard.
And that's how my mom used to make them.
Good.
But the downside is it's going to fill your house with, like, greasy smoke, so you want to make sure you have a good hood or do it at your parents' house or something.
Hey, Faith, I want to come that party where I'm going to come over and cook at your house. I think we should do burgers inside.
Oh, boy. Okay. So that's the crusted smash burger, and that is at our website, foodschmooze.org, and that sounds really, really good. I have a pork pineapple burger grilled coming up for you. Lori Mack?
I like turkey burgers in the summer. So instead of making them, you know, just making them into a burger and putting them on the grill and kind of making them boring, I add a little bit of ketchup and mix it right into the mix with a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. And sometimes I've gone a little bit overboard with that, so it gets a little wet. I've put panko breadcrumbs in there, or absorb some of that.
The panko?
That's good.
No, I love the ketchup in the burger idea. I've never thought of that.
It adds that sort of sweetness and tang.
Did you say onion or there's no onion?
You can add onion. I don't.
Okay. No.
But that sounds like a good idea.
You test this out, so I'm saying.
Yes, I did.
Let's go with
that
how.
Sounds
ketchup,
like a
let's
good
go
idea.
How you make it.
Ketchup in the burger.
But
it's
you can really add anything. Add it.
You could put chili sauce or anything
you
want.
Yeah. But the ketchup makes it sweet, and it gives
and
you
it
that
sort of
little
caramelizes
sort of,
too
it
when
does.
It gets
it's
cooked.
A little tang, and the Worcestershire sauce gives it that little extra depth. Yeah. And then you just put it on your grill.
Oh,
you can put it in the oven.
Kid friendly.
So did you coat the top with ketchup at the end like you would meatloaf?
No, I've done that with my meatloaf, but I actually stirred it right. I mixed it right into.
Could you do both?
Why not?
Glaze.
You get the ketchup.
I would say that you'd have to grill it on one side first, and then when you flipped it over, put the ketchup on the done side.
Because it's going to flame up and caramelize from the sugar and the ketchup. Wow, this is, I don't think I have enjoyed a show more than I just am crazy now. All I want to do is race home and start making more burgers. We've just eaten a whole bunch of them, and you guys are getting me so hungry. So I have for you a grilled tropical pork and pineapple burger. And I'm the type, if you say tropical to me, I'm all in. I'm just absolutely Bring on the umbrellas for the drinks. And I just
tiki torches.
Start the music. So I was fooling around with this thing. And what you do is, this is a burger that is studded with chunks of pineapple that have been on the grill. And a few, you know, slightly spicy Asian ingredients, not hot, but spicy. And then crispy bacon goes on this burger. So you've got the sort of gentleness of the regular pork with a little bit of Asian kick, and then the crispness of the bacon for texture and flavor. And it kind of is a sweet and sour experience, and it goes like this. You have diced green pepper, diced yellow onion, a little hoisin sauce, and a little soy sauce that you, of course, get in the supermarket, seasoned salt, easily gotten, minced garlic, a couple pounds of ground pork, and then a can of sliced pineapple. Sure, you could do fresh if you want, but it's just so easy for me to get the canned because these pineapple slices are going on the grill and some bacon strips. I pan fry my bacon strips in advance because I ruin bacon on the grill.
So that dreaded flare up.
Yeah, before people come, I just grill up a whole bunch of bacon slices and drain them and set them aside. And then this is one of those recipes that is really fun. It's at foodschmooze.org right now because I love any recipe where you just combine everything at once, you know. So I think like the first six ingredients in this recipe, you just mash it all together with the pork. And then you shape it into burgers. And with this, this we all know here on the show is a trick. When you're shaping your burger for the grill, they puff up and then they cook unevenly. The outside gets overdone. The inside is raw. So you press your thumb, after you've made your patty, you press your thumb into the center of the burger and make an indentation, and that keeps it from puffing up. So you do that, and then oil the grill rack, and just you start grilling your pineapple slices until they get brown on one side, flip them over, and then on go the burgers. Set the pineapple slices aside. They've now got a nice little char on them. And then you cook your burgers, put them on the buns with the grilled pineapple and a couple, two slices of bacon per person.
Yum.
And there you go. If you want to kick up the heat on this, you certainly could add a little Frank's hot sauce or some crushed red pepper if you wanted. If you want to be decadent, you could do Swiss cheese on here too if you want. If you just can't stand a burger without cheese. Really fun burger to try. So that's the grilled tropical pork and pineapple burger. We're doing our top 10 burgers here on the Food Schmooze. All of them are listed at foodschmooze.org, S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E, foodschmooze.org.
So what about the buns? Would you toast the buns, too?
I don't toast my buns.
No?
No.
That's a whole other show.
I set myself up for that one, didn't I?
Just walked I was waiting right into it.
Yeah, right.
How do you think I feel? That's for the other show.
I was just thinking about eating.
I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun. There's no question about it. Here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, contributor Alex Provence, he's our regular contributor and a go-to guy on so many things. He lives in Hartford, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. And we thank you first and foremost for listening. We are wall-to-wall burgers on this show. We're doing the top 10 Food Schmooze summer burgers. Some are vegetarian. Some are pork, some are chicken, some are turkey, some are beef. Really, really fun to do this. So we have an Indian veggie burger coming your way. Here we go. All right. So who's turning? Chris, you are up.
So bacon and Swiss. So this is, again, a stuffed burger. And stuffed burgers, I think, its own category, right?
Yeah.
You have burgers where you put stuff on it, and then you have burgers where you put stuff in it. And these are the stuffed burgers, and I think they're the most fun. So this one is just real simple. I take cooked bacon that I already have cooked, and I chop it up into, you know, decent sized pieces. And then I take Swiss cheese and I cut it into, say, like half inch little cubes. Mm-hmm. And I toss that into the bowl with the ground beef. And I, like you, Alex, I like it, you know, if it can be 70-30, I'm happy. 50-50. I will take 20, you know, 80-20. But if you can find 70-30 or somewhere around there in between 80-20, 70-30, that's the best
burger.
What
does that mean?
It's the amount of fat versus meat.
So and which is which? So 70 is the meat and 30 is the fat?
Yeah, you wish it was the other
fat.
Way around, right?
I'm just making sure I understand. Just making sure.
So, yes. Oh, and then you just take that, put it in a bowl. I add a little bit of Worcestershire sauce because like you did in the turkey burger, it adds that little base kind of note to it. And then you just mix this up really well. You make patties.
But not too much, right? Or it'll get...
No, I like really mixing it in there because you want to make sure that cheese ends up in the center. Because there's nothing better biting into a medium rare burger and inside is a little soft cube of cheese.
Like a present.
Bacon. Yeah, like a little present. So you, and again, grill, pan fry, whatever you want. I like a medium rare to medium. Like you said, you know, medium is nice, you know, medium rare somewhere. I'm not too rare, but boy, put this on a toasted, bun. A Kaiser roll is good on this one. So it has a little crispiness.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, just me.
Wow. Condiments?
Condiments. I'm a ketchup and mustard guy.
Even couple with the slices. Swiss cheeseburger?
Oh, yeah. A couple
yellow
slices
mustard
of pickles.
Or Dijon mustard or spicy mustard. Brown mustard?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you put pickles on this?
Yeah, I love pickles on this.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you put pickles on every burger, just so we know?
No, I'm not. No, like the buffalo burger, I don't like pickles on. But, boy, the beef burger.
Put them on there.
You put it on there?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah, you can. But I like the pickles on the beef burgers for some reason.
The burgers are just a raft to deliver the pickles to your face.
This comes from Jonathan, who every day when we come here, he's drinking his drink, whatever it is, water, soda, whatever. And we're like, that's an odd-looking glass. And as you get closer to it, you realize it's an old pickle jar.
It's not really that old.
Juice.
I go through pickles pretty fast.
Yeah, and... so he eats the pickles for breakfast for the rest of the day. It's
a newish
glass.
Pickle jar, yeah.
So Jonathan. And in your world, your burger would be covered. You do a classic burger, right? And yours is covered with dill pickles or sweet?
Dill.
Ooh,
dill.
Good point.
And dill. Then are you ketchup, mustard, and all that? Or,
ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. Katie does barbecue sauce too, but that's not my thing. But
okay, so everything.
Whatever you got, pile it on there.
And the pickles.
Yes. Oh, we got it.
Lettuce, tomato, all that.
Sure.
Wait, mayonnaise?
Yeah. Well,
mayonnaise
like
if they're
like
really
that
good
too.
Tomatoes.
Ooh, we've got a fight going on here. I can see
I like mayo too.
Mayo
really?
Goes on the lettuce the... tomato side.
Oh, you have a side it needs to go on?
Well, that's the
it
salad.
Can't mix.
Oh, the salad.
I got it. Okay.
Am I the only one that doesn't like mayo on a burger?
I think.
You don't like mayo on anything, do you?
No, but I especially don't like it on a burger for some reason. I'm more of a mustard ketchup traditionalist. I guess, right? But I don't know. I guess it depends on where you're from, right? In Europe.
But together, right?
Yeah, mustard and ketchup together.
That's a debate, too. There's the people who don't.
There's the French fries and the mayonnaise people. Mm.
Yeah,
the whole
I like that,
thing
too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No.
So, it's so good.
No French fries and mayonnaise. French fries and ketchup.
So the only time the mayonnaise comes near my burger is if it's a lobster burger or if it's a cheeseburger with bacon. Then out comes the mayo.
Yeah, bacon
because
and mayo.
It's sort of a beef LT.
Oh, BLT kind
sort
of thing.
Yeah, sort of.
So now you have a point. I got to think about
that. Now, your bun on your burger, which you're starting the category of the stuffed burger.
Yep.
And you can play with that any which way you
so
want.
Many
but
things
your
you put
your
in.
Main point I think you're saying is that you want the cube cheese in that meat so that it melts while it's cooking.
And it's soft. It's like, what did you say? A little present. When you bite in, it's a little present in there. And and if you mixed it well, it's surrounded by little crispy bacon bits.
Oh, don't
so
you
picture
just
that when you,
want?
Yeah, bite
wrapped
into your
a present wrapped in.
So I was still thinking about dipping bacon into mayonnaise. Has anyone ever done that?
Just why even bother with the fries? Just use bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement, though, that there if there's anything that can make a burger better, it is bacon. Right? A bacon cheeseburger, a bacon burger, whatever you want, put it in it, put it on it.
Yeah,
right?
No,
pork, beef, chicken, whatever.
But I think cheese can really do it. And we know of the burger place out in Manchester, Connecticut, Shady Glen, and they do an interesting thing, and they've done it for what seems like a century, where they put the cheese under this special grill, and it crisps up. And so... They figured out how to use the cheese to get texture.
Nice.
And that's really what bacon does, in addition to being that wonderful bacony, smoky thing, but and salty. But they figured out how
like
to make
fried
that cheese.
But I'm the one that always asks them to if they could lift the cheese back up onto the burger.
So that it's,
scoop it. Doesn't get crispy.
Oh, so it doesn't.
See,
you are but
it is deeply personal. No, I think we're getting on
something. I want the cheese. I just like flap it back on the top.
But I do. I think the burger is can be something really personal to everybody, right?
Oh,
I like it this
sauce.
Way. You like it that way.
Here's my thing. I need a lot of cheddar cheese on my burger. Mm. I want to be able to really taste the cheddar so that it's an equal in its taste to the burger meat. And a trick for people is if you don't have the meat that is these guys want you to do, what, 70-30 if you can get away with it?
60-40.
But a trick for me is that I'll get the healthier version with less fat. But then when it's cooking, at the very last minute, I put one small pat of butter on the beef burger or on my steak. And I use the butter in that case as a flavoring agent. It fools the palate. And it makes it taste like it is filled with fat in the best way. So it's easy. Okay, so there you go. But if you're watching your whatever, and you don't want to have a lot of fat in your meat for whatever reason, there you go. You can even not even use the whole pat. Just rub it on there until a little bit melts, and then take it right off, and you've done your flavoring.
Here
we go. We're doing wall-to-wall burgers on the Food Schmooze. If you're just joining us, I want to clue you in. We've been going through them, but you haven't missed anything because every burger that we're talking about is on the website right now, foodschmooze.org, so you can fly there. I don't know about you, but all I want to eat for the next week, burgers, 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 morning, noon, and night. All right, Alex, you have a burger that you do, which is cumin, isn't it? It's a cumin burger.
I like to play off the idea of doing street food, and I add cumin to meat because it sort of gives it that you're walking down the street in New York City and you can smell the meat and cumin a mile away. So I take it like Chris, I take a bowl, add 80-20 beef, salt, pepper, some Worcestershire sauce, a little bit of cumin. You don't need a ton. You don't want to overdo it. You can add some chopped onion if you want to just give it a little moisture. And then I carefully put that together into a patty. I do what Faith does, the indentation in the middle. And then I actually grill these outside and grill them, you know, to medium. And I love, love, love strong cheddar cheese. And Cabot makes that like Hunter one that has the red plaid on the outside. Like the stronger, the tangier,
extra sharp cheese,
the better.
English.
And I put a huge amount on top. And then, you know, and it doesn't melt exactly. It's more like, you know, like a third of the thickness of the...
Me too. Exactly.
It gets cheddar, half burger.
Yeah.
So it just
gets
soft.
But
soft,
it doesn't melt. And then it's just...
Oh, I love it. So then... And then I use a potato roll because there's like the sweetness in the potato roll. Mm-hmm. And then, especially if you have great tomatoes, big thickly cut tomatoes, lettuce, and then like mayonnaise on one side... And then I love yellow mustard, like the just plain yellow mustard. Yeah. And I'll squeeze a ton of that on, and it can live with or without the ketchup. But all that together, and then when you take a bite, you know, the juices are running out. That cheddar cheese, like you say, is like soft, and you can like chew it.
Yum.
That's like,
I love raw onion on a burger. Is anybody like that? Or do you
thinly
all
thinly sliced? I like it like paper thin. I don't like getting it to where it like hurts when you're eating it, but if you slice it thin, it's a totally
like a red onion.
Yeah,
right?
Red onion sliced paper thin and just a big mound of it on top, and that's heaven.
Very good. This is very, very good. So we have done the buffalo chicken burger. We've done Alex's crusted smash burger, which is a pan fried. That's the one indoors. You just heard about his food truck cumin burger. And we have some vegetarian burgers to talk about. I have one. Chris has one. Chris, what about your portobello burger?
Oh, yeah. That's another stuffed burger. Okay, so again, back into the category of stuffed burgers. Yeah, so I take, and you can take cooked mushrooms or uncooked mushrooms. I like to just saute them or grill them, like you have the grill started already. So you have your burger in a bowl, you get your grill going, just lightly grill the portobellos to just get a little bit of char. So brush them with some olive oil, clean them. I like getting the gills out of them, you know, the black gills that are inside. I like scraping that out with a spoon.
What happens if you leave that?
It's just a textural thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you can be left there, but I like cleaning them up. And then just grill them till they just start to cook. And then I take them on a cutting board and I just chop them into cubes. And then that goes into the bowl with the hamburger meat, right, with the ground beef. And then you can do whatever you want. I like with this, I'm with you, the sharper the cheddar, the better. So this is, again, a portobello cheddar burger. So little dices, just like with the Swiss, little dices of cheddar cheese. And then to this, you can add diced up sun-dried tomatoes work really well. Well, like what Faye says, if you're not using the heavier fat, like the 80-20, or you can use the 90-10, and I just like drizzling a little olive oil in it, right? Mm. So just a teeny bit, and then you mix that all together, salt and pepper on the outside, and grill it to a nice medium rare, and you get that nice texture from the mushrooms and also that flavor from the mushrooms.
Chris, yeah. I've never thought of putting olive oil in a burger. Mm-hmm. That's a genius
just
idea.
Just a little bit. Again, you don't want to make it so it's wet.
But you know how chicken and turkey has a kind of have a dried quality on the grill?
Sure.
This would be the perfect way to keep that moist and give it that unctuous kind of...
Yeah. So what about
that's why the chicken burger, right? That's why that chicken burger stays moist, right? Because the buffalo sauce has butter in it.
Same with the turkey burger with the Worcestershire sauce and the ketchup, right?
Why couldn't you add a little of the bacon fat?
Woohoo! We're talking my language.
I mean, if you save the like we do, we save our bacon fat.
Because we prefaced it with saying if you're watching your fat.
some people aren't.
Yeah, but if you're not, how about that in a chicken burger?
Yeah.
We're just giving it like a nice fatty flavor.
Or if you had duck fat lying around, or you had
lying there.
If you had truffle butter, that's also really fabulous.
Or truffle oil.
So Umami Burger, that chain, does the truffle burger, and they put a truffled cheese on the top of the burger. Delicious. So you could do that too. You can get that at any cheese store. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for extra sharp cheese, the English cheddars are the most sharp of all. Yeah. So you want to ask for that. If you're in a cheese store, you're not going to find that in the supermarket, and you don't have to go to a cheese store.
No, but his was good in the supermarket, right? What was that again? The with the plaid on the outside. That's a really good supermarket one. Yeah.
Yeah, great. All right, what else have we got? So we go to the vegetarian category because we want to just say, at least in the case of the one that I created, it was trying to make it be a veggie burger, but not have it bore me. And so I was interested in texture and powerful flavor and trying to create as best I could, you know, you be the judge, a veggie burger that doesn't feel like you're having a veggie burger and that leaves you wanting and a little disappointing. I don't know. Maybe you'll say, that is horrible. But
no, yours has all that stuff going on, though. I've made yours.
Me too.
And yours has it's amazing that you can get so much texture and flavor like you would in a regular beef burger out of using vegetables and nuts and stuff if you use it in the right combination.
Yeah.
Okay,
this is a perfect example of that.
Okay, so, but Chris, why don't you do yours first? Because yours is mine's the Indian flavor, and yours is a seitan, right?
And the cool thing about seitan, it's homogenized wheat gluten, so it's kind of weird and technical, but you can find this now in any Stop and Shop, and I like it there, buying it there versus a health food store, because you can buy what I see now in little packages called seitan crumbles.
Right.
So it already looks like cooked ground beef. So when you kick it out of the package, it looks exactly like cooked ground beef.
It might have more chemicals in it. That's the only thing.
No, it's all natural. Yeah. No, the stuff in the supermarket is really good.
We've talked about all natural.
Oh, yes. We have talked about all natural.
We're not even going to go there.
But this is – so you take these crumbles, right? And again, it looks like ground beef. And I make a Mediterranean one out of this. Mm. So basically, I'm looking for the flavors of the Mediterranean. I take these crumbles and I throw in chopped olives. You can use Kalamata or, you know, go to your olive bar and walk around, see which ones you like the best, right? Again, at the olive bar, chopped up sun-dried tomatoes. You can get that there too. Mm. And then just mix that in. Cornstarch is my kind of binder in this, just a little bit. And then you can...
you make a little cornstarch in water.
No. This you just to dry it. I just sprinkle it right in. Yeah. Again, you need something. Bread breadcrumb.
I thought you had to make it into water first.
Only when you're thickening a liquid. But if you're using it as like what we're doing here is like a binder, a kind of drying agent.
So like the powdery cornstarch?
Yeah. So just sprinkle it over the top. And again, you can use it just like you would flour or panko or, right?
Okay.
If in yours you're going to use some breadcrumb or something, right, to hold that together.
Right.
I'm just using a little bit of cornstarch sprinkled over it. You got to make sure it sprinkles over it because it can tend to clump, right?
Okay.
So just put that, sprinkle over it, and then whatever, and go crazy too. In the recipe here, I think I have onion too, right? But whatever you want in there to add it in Mediterranean, you can add chopped mushrooms, right? And then you just sort of make patties. And on the grill, if you do it on the grill, these are a little looser. So I always say put tinfoil down and oil the tinfoil. That sort of holds it together so nothing falls through the grates. And again, you can cook this real lightly. Gets a nice char on the outside. And again, it has that kind of texture. The seitan, if anyone's ever had it, it has that texture of ground beef.
Wow, that's great, Chris. Yeah,
it's a good burger. And it's high in protein. A lot of people that are like bikers and weightlifters like seitan because of the protein.
And seitan has a sort of neutral flavor.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of a flavor of something, but you have so many items in your thing that have good, strong flavor that it's just going to act like a neutral protein in this burger, but it has good texture for a burger. Yeah. So that is a great one. Again, everything we're talking about at the website, you know what it is, foodschmooze.org. Coming up next, the Indian veggie burger. Can't wait to tell you about it. It's lots of fun. Please support your local food growers and food makers, and you can find the food, wine, recipes, everything at foodschmooze.org. If you're interested in something to drink to go with all this, don't worry about it because we have you covered. You just search cocktails, and we've got a million. We've got wines up there. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Hey! Just a little bit of soul. Song, making it long gone. I was alone, breaking it off, making it soft, pushing the road home. Sear it like a vegetable, scarf it like a vegetable, notch it like a vegetable. Dip it like a vegetable, fry it like a vegetable.
Okay, I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. With the gang, Alex and Chris and Jonathan and Lori, and we are wall-to-wall burgers on this show. We have our top 10 Food Schmooze burgers. These are the ones we love to make. And these recipes posted at the website, and they run from traditional meat to vegetarian. And so that brings me to this Indian veggie burger that I made up. And it consists of a lot of things because I was trying to get as many vegetables in there as I could, but yet not have this taste like a traditional veggie burger that, for me, they often feel a little bit disappointing. So this is, and I wanted texture where you feel like you've got chew in this thing. That's part of what's satisfying about a burger. So we have canned chickpeas, we have canned lentils, brown rice, a green pepper and a red pepper diced up, green beans, red onion diced up, mushrooms that are chopped, corn kernels, chopped carrots. Here's the trick, toasted walnuts that you just, you smash them a little bit, not crushed completely so they're into powder, but you just break them up a bit, and salt and pepper, curry sauce that I buy at Trader Joe's or curry powder. You know, but you can get curry sauce in the supermarket or curry powder. And then if you want heat, you add just a little drop of Frank's hot sauce. And then to absorb the moisture that is in this from all these vegetables, you would either put a little cornmeal or a little panko breadcrumbs, the Japanese light breadcrumbs. All of it, every single thing available in the supermarket. They don't have to be fresh vegetables. They can be frozen vegetables, whatever you want. And then you just put all this together, and it makes a burger, and you can pan fry them, you can put them in your toaster oven, you can broil them, you can put them out on the grill, whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Everything has a reason in this burger. That's why I like it, right? And everything's sort of mushed up like the size of a ground beef piece. And it really does, when you're eating it and you get that chew, it really does remind me of eating a real beef burger. Right. I don't know what it is about that combination that you have in there.
So one of the things that I do is, I like Lori, when you were talking about wanting extra sauce on the bun, when I have this with a roll, I will get the jarred curry sauce and smear some of that on my roll. If you feel like that's too hot for you, you can add a little yogurt to it. And there you go. It is pretty good in terms of not making you feel like you're missing out on powerful flavor, because there's a lot going on.
Sounds
and
good.
It's
I
good texture.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a sauce that might work with it. It's a little bit of mayonnaise mixed with apricot preserves and a little bit of curry powder.
Whoa.
Oh, to sweeten it up a little.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That sounds great,
it's,
Chris.
And it just popped into my head as we would go amazing with that burger.
Yeah.
That kind of sweet curry, right?
All right, let's go for the bread with the burger. If you're someone who has bread with the burger, what is it that everybody loves? I adore a buttered English muffin with a burger,
good.
A classic burger. So that's fantastic.
Good. And then you can eat that with a fork and knife, and it's
I want juice down my sleeve.
That's exactly what Alex doesn't want.
Alex is like, I want it to contain it all.
Where are those wet wipes out of this?
No sleeves.
So I love the Dutch potato yellow kind of things.
Soft
or squishy.
Okay, so in that supermarket.
Oh, gosh. And you can get the cool thing about that is you get them in every size. You can get the little burger, like the slider one, or you can get the next size up, which is like the regular fast food hamburger size. And now I've even seen bigger ones. You're like, wow, that's like for the half-pound burger. So they come in many sizes. I actually think there's even a hot dog bun in that now from that potato bread company.
Does anybody love a burger on just white bread with a normal crust?
Isn't there a place here? Isn't that New Haven?
Yeah, they over at
Louis Lunch. Isn't that two slices of white bread?
Yes, toast. It is.
Okay, so do you do toast or not toast?
Yes,
I do what they tell me to do.
That's right. That's
and anyone
right.
is eating there.
Yes. Am I the only people that tell people how to ruin a historic recipe?
Yeah.
Do you mind not toasting white bread, please?
No.
No, you don't do that. No,
you leave.
Prepare for your dressing down.
What about the Kaiser roll, right? That seems to be a traditional.
Very large.
That's the thing. You don't want the overhang of bread. You don't need more bread than meat.
Yeah.
That's just the wrong allocation of calories right there.
But you're thinking, we're thinking opposite here.
You're saying make a bigger burger?
Hello. Yeah. How about Alex's pancake burger there? Yeah. The smashed and...
Yeah, but when you get the big roll, you can't get your mouth over it. The ratio of too much bread
versus
the wrong...
No bread canopy. That's what we don't want.
No bread canopy.
You want to give a squish that's a good, in your mouth.
No, I like the way that description of it. You don't want a bread canopy.
Jonathan, I'm guessing you to be sort of the standard Pepperidge Farm roll guy.
That's who I am.
Or the potato rolls. I mean, those
either
are
one.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, Pepperidge
Farm.
Or
the bread, too. I like that. I like
the white bread.
Who mentioned earlier the English muffin?
All of these things.
That's a good one.
And you can go outside the box and get in any supermarket now the Indian naan, which is the flatbread, and put your burger in there. Yep.
Yeah.
You can do something different that way. Or no bread at all, as the paleo people do, or the diet-friendly people
do.
That's
just a steak.
No, I believe in the 70s it was called the Salisbury steak, wasn't it?
Right. That's right.
That was just basically a hamburger without the bun.
Yeah.
It was called a Salisbury steak.
Had everything else. And you could have it with mushrooms.
I think it had Worcestershire sauce in it traditionally.
Yeah.
And mushrooms, didn't it?
I mean, I just remember having it with mushrooms and onions on top, and it came with, gravy. And
so now
like,
I wonder, can you do buttermilk biscuit?
Make a big biscuit.
With gravy.
Ooh, so you would eat it with a knife and fork. It wouldn't be so much
might not.
Yeah, I might not. Yeah. And Jonathan definitely. Me and Jonathan would just look at it.
Yeah.
We can eat it with our hands.
You know how the remember the old Atkins diets, which were really paleo type? And meat would be rolled inside different kinds of lettuce. So you'd have iceberg you could roll in. You could roll in Boston lettuce, which was softer. And I'm wondering if there's something interesting to do if you are being careful about carbs or you're diabetic and you can't have them. Could you fool around with lettuce, rolling your burger in lettuce somehow? I mean, maybe you wouldn't do the round squat burger. Maybe you'd do it long in a cigar shape and roll it that way.
My chef does the wrap, and that's pretty mean. So he grills a hamburger to medium rare, and then so the round burger, right? And then he cuts it in half.
Then
he takes his two halves and puts it on the wrap, so they're lengthwise, right? So it's a nice
long. There's a lot of bars that have a sandwich and then, like that. I get then, that sometimes. Right?
And then you can put whatever you want, lettuce, tomato, and you make a burger wrap. So that would be perfect for Alex because there's no drip, no mess. They put it in a nice little piece of paper.
Wow, fun.
And eat with your hands, but no dripping.
And on the opposite end where you start, you could tuck it in.
Yeah, that's so nothing drips out of it. See? Yes. Now we're all self-contained.
Like put like a little safety pin at the bottom.
Safety pin at the bottom. Yes.
I think the pita pocket is made for you and your burger.
Right. How about that? Has anyone dripping ever? I've had that before, a pita burger.
I haven't.
They do the same kind of thing where they cut the burger in half and put each half inside a pita half.
Then you could do that white
tzatziki sauce.
Oh, tzatziki sauce. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
A chicken burger would be great in that. So is there any bread we've left out? I can't think of anything. Pretzel roll.
That seems big now.
Brioche. People use brioche.
Yeah, that's big now.
That's good, too. Yeah. Got that little bit of a sweeter profile. Yeah. Sure. We haven't said a word about the grill. What's on the grill if you're not a gas grill person or if you are?
Yeah, well, I love going to the hardware store and you get wood chips. Like I think hickory works best. And you can soak that in water or soak it in wine. For
Alex's theme. Yes.
With your clothes.
You put that on the side of the grill. And then, you know, especially when you put – I use a kettle grill and you put the kettle top on.
Oh, yes.
And then I make like smoke. You know, just smoke is pouring out. The neighbors are calling a fire department. And it just gives another dimension to the burger.
So that would work especially with this veggie burger.
That would, yeah.
Okay.
That would be good.
I like smoke in my burger. Yeah, I never thought of that because the bacon adds smoke to it too.
And hickory works great.
Chris, you know, we forgot your tuna burger. And this is fun because it's canned tuna. And
I know, it's crazy.
Really, can I make that taste good enough to want it as a burger? Let me tell you, we had this on the show. It is delicious.
I can't even grasp how many people love this. And it just, to me, is absolutely amazing. I do seafood classes. Like I teach seafood classes and we'll do scallops and lobster rolls and all these fancy seafood dishes. And people are just like, wow, I really want the recipe for that tuna burger. And you're like, the lobster roll? Oh yeah, that was good too. The tuna burger? But it's one of those things. And this is just a simple recipe that includes canned tuna. Right? And you take the canned tuna. It can be in olive oil or the water. Doesn't matter. Not picky. So put that in a bowl, drained. And then to that you add, just as simple as this, Italian dressing. You can make your own or you could use whatever your favorite bottled is. A couple, you know, shakes of that. And then Dijon mustard and breadcrumb.
Really?
And that's it? And then
why
we can trick
I remember
it up. Capers? Because you can trick it up. You can put capers in there. You can put olives in there.
Onion,
but the basic, but the basic recipe, the meat of the recipe is just canned tuna, Dijon mustard, Italian dressing, and breadcrumbs. And every time I teach that, I'm just, why did I bring in all this other stuff? We should have just made 15 kinds of this, and everyone would have went crazy. And I get letters still from people.
Can you grill it?
You can grill it. It holds up enough. Again, use the tinfoil trick where you take tinfoil and, you know, just put a little oil on it or spray, right, and put that on the grill just to, you know, hold it together. But it is pretty good. My chef came up with this recipe, Brian. This is his late night snack, and he does it in the George Foreman grill. So you can
do
that there, or you can do it in the grill. You can do it in the oven. You can do whatever you want.
That's what we did here in the studio.
We did it here.
Now I remember. You brought in your Foreman grill, and we
covered up the smoke detector.
Oh, gosh, that's the thing. There's so many things you can do. do with it, right? Just thinly sliced apple on top? Sure. Or capers and olives and tomatoes and just whatever
pickles.
You want.
So what do we think pickles. Is – what's the great – now, for the beef burger, I would love a cold cocktail with bourbon as the spirit because I love beef and bourbon. Mm-hmm. So you could do the classic mint julep or have some more fun with it. Do a kind of summery version of the Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you do it with a little club soda or something. It'd be kind of fun, an extra lime or something.
Bourbon and Coca-Cola would be good.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's
that sounds really
actually
good.
My brother's favorite with burger. That's what he does is JD and Coke. Mm.
Yeah. All right, just so, thought about but, that. But for wine, Alex, what would you say would be best burger wine?
Two things. I would do a Red Zinfandel, I think would be great. It's American, and I would put, if you know, a slight chill on it.
That's
just
what I was going to ask.
Yes.
Are you okay with that? Because I know in the summer I like
it
just
to be 80 degrees.
Or even just drop an ice cube in it. Is that
sure?
That's fine, right? No, you don't have to chill it. You can just take one ice cube, drop it in there, and you're done.
Well, I you know, then it's going to water it down a little bit. But if I'm stuck, I will put ice cube in my beer. Yeah. I will put ice cube in whatever I've got if it's not cold enough, just to instantly chill it, and there you go.
You can make wine ice cubes.
Ooh.
You've got an answer for everything, Alex.
Could you really?
I don't know.
Because there's not enough alcohol where it wouldn't freeze, like vodka or gin or tequila or whatever.
So alcohol freezes as long as it's under 50 proof.
Yeah, and wine.
Anything 50 and above will not freeze. Yeah. Wine, obviously.
Way below that.
Way below that. So that'll freeze.
Wow, dude, you have a market here. Alex promises wine ice cubes.
Wine on the brain.
Okay. And also, with all these things that have a lot of fat or a little heat, I would do a sparkling rosé, very dry, but a sparkling rosé. And I think for a party crowd, I would absolutely go with $10 bottle Segura Viuda. Right? Is that how I would say it in Spanish? The rosé is actually pretty good.
Yeah. And how about the classic? Are we forgetting the classic?
The cava.
Isn't it just a beer?
A beer.
Isn't Alex?
Burger and a beer.
Right? Jonathan? Good. Beer is burger.
You know what?
Cider
actually is what I tend to do.
Oh, sure. Like Angry Orchard?
That kind of, yeah. I like beer slightly cider. Better than that, but yeah.
I'm still a fan, though.
I just got snobby right there. Sorry about that.
Excuse me. What kind do you like?
Actually, to be totally honest with you, the best cider I've ever had was in Canada, which you can't even get here.
What?
I don't even know what it's called. The kind they have up there is very, very dry. It's like a different...
But sparkling cider.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
Vermont.
Oh, they have the kind that's not. You're right. Yes. Yeah. No, with the bubbles. Yes.
And if you don't drink, what would you say, Alex?
So I Coca-Cola, ice, and a squeeze of lemon. Yeah. Oh, I'm not a huge soda drinker, but like a hamburger
hot
and Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Pepsi.
Or Pepsi-Cola.
Yeah, Pepsi-Cola.
Cola.
So what's interesting about those two things is if you do drink alcohol and you have bourbon, there's a sweetness to bourbon, and that is maybe part of what makes it pair well with the beef. Mm. And I see that just occurred to me because of what you said about the sweet Coke.
Because you could do sweet tea or iced tea, which is also, or sun tea, which is fun.
Does anybody know the strategy for how often to flip the burger on the grill? I remember reading in one of the magazines where they tested everything that you could possibly test. And then Harold McGee, jumped in on this and said, here's really what's happening with the outside of the burger. And I'm, for the life of me, I can't remember. You might want to Google this.
So I know
I'm
Matt
embarrassed.
As I'm running out the door, he says, make sure you tell everyone when they're cooking a burger on the grill not to press down because all the juices come out. It's like, okay.
And
unless you're making your burger.
And don't touch
it. That's in a frying pan.
And don't touch it when you put it on the grill. Just walk away from it. That's the thing that drives me crazy. People put the burger on the grill, and then a second later, they want to move it or stuff. And
I try to turn it is it 45 degrees?
So you get the grill
cross hatch.
But not a second after you put it on there. You gotta let it.
You need the first hatch before you get the cross.
You gotta make the first hatch mark. So you gotta leave it on there and let it char before it's like a human instinct in us.
It's
like,
hard. It is.
You
it
put
takes
it on the grill
to,
and you want to the second you want to put it on there, did it stick? Should I move it?
It's not for me. I walk away and I forget all about it.
Do you ever come back?
I think it's men.
When I smell something burning.
Wait. Jonathan said it's men.
I do.
You feel this way?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I don't think it's just men. Yeah. I think it's a herding instinct in all of us.
Up, little burger, up.
No, but because there is a great deal of male pride about the grill, I absolutely think if we did a poll on this, we'd find out that more men than women are moving the burgers around.
Then it's like you're really cooking it if you're moving it around, touching
that's
it.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, so if you don't move it, you're not cooking.
You have to trust the fire is the thing. There's a fire, it will cook it.
That's right. Hey, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this was a riot, and we want to tell you that they're up there on the website right now, the top 10 burgers for the Food Schmooze, the very best that we have assembled for you for this summer enjoyment. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online right now or anytime. You can find our wall-to-wall burger recipes, the top 10, our wines, cocktails, everything you might want. Foodschmooze.org right now. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.